Right, so the main here in Perek in Shmos, Perek Vav, we have Hashem telling Moshe to speak to Paro. Speak to Paro and send Bnei Yisrael from his land. Moshe says, Hashem, Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. How will Paro listen to me, right? Because what happened with Bnei Yisrael when they didn't listen to him? When he told him about the promises of Hashem, Voltsesi, Vitzati, Gatu Vilakati, and basically, Bnei Yisrael didn't listen. So he said, how's Paro going to listen to me? So Vadibar Hashem, Moshe, Velarim, Vyetzaveva, Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, and he commanded them to Bnei Yisrael, Vel Paro, Vel Pitzraim, and to Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, Lotzias, Bnei Yisrael, Beret Yisrael, to take the Bnei Yisrael, hello. To take Bnei Yisrael, you have a chair, one chair? This chair here. To take Bnei Yisrael, there's a folding chair over there. To take Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Okay, so Moshe is about to go to Paro, and then all of a sudden, what do we have? A family tree. And we have the children of Reuven. Then we have Bnei Shimon, the children of Shimon, Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yachin, Tzohar, Shobet, Kalanis, Elish Shmos, Bnei Levi, Little Sub, here are the children of Levi, Gershon, Kasabari, Shnecha, Yelevi, the years of Levi are Sheva, Shoshim, Bashanah, 137. By the way, so far, what do we have in Levi that we don't have for Reuven and Shimon? We have the children of Reuven, children of Shimon, children of Levi. What do we have in Levi's Pasuk that we don't have for Reuven and Shimon? What counts?
Age.
Interesting, right? We don't care how old Reuven was when he died. We don't care about Shimon. We care about Levi. And then we say, B'nai Gershom, the children of Gershom are Levi and Shimi, Levi Shmuel, some Levi and Shimi. The children of Kahas or Abram, Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel. Then we have, whose age we have? Kahas is how old? Shalosh, Shoshim, Mashin, 133 years. Okay, we care about how old Levi was when he died. We care about Kahas, how old he was when he died. We have Merari, his children. And then we have Bekach Amram, Yocheved, Dodesel, Lolisha. We have Amram, right, marrying his aunt Yocheved. And they had given birth to Aaron and Moshe. And we have Amram's age, Sheva Shoshim Mashin, 137 years. We have children of Yitzhar, the children of Uziel. And we have Aaron marrying Elisheva. And then his children, Nadav, Elazar, Eli, Tamar. And, okay, we have Elazar. He takes the children of Putiel for his wife, and they give birth to Pinchas. We have a little bit of a family tree going on there with Aaron. And then it says, who Aaron and Moshe? This is Aaron and Moshe. Asher Amar, Asher Elohim. Then Hashem said to them, Otsiyos, Bnei Yisrael, Be'eret, Mitzrayim. Take the Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt. Hey, Rab, Dabri, Paro. There's one who's going to speak to Paro. Lo, Otsiyos, Bnei Yisrael, Mitzrayim. Okay. So, I want to know why you have this conversation. Hashem says, go to Paro and tell him to let my people go. All of a sudden, we have this family tree, and then we go back. And then we have then back to our story. It's like, oh, I've got to mention, here's the family tree. I want to try to understand that. Why do we have, and also, what's unusual about this family tree? Like, what is the family tree of?
Moshe.
Moshe and Aaron, and sort of Reuven and Shimon, but not really. Like, it's a little strange, right? In other words, we don't say, okay, Yaakov had Levi, and Levi had Amram, and Amram had Moshe and Aaron. We have, oh, there was Reuven. He had some kids. Shimon had some kids. Levi, then we had this. So, you know, so it's a little strange. So the whole notion of just sticking the family tree in here, we want to understand why. And also, like, the family tree is a little off. It seems a little off because we first have Reuven by himself, Shimon by himself, you know, Shimon and his kids, Reuven and his kids, and Levi, and a little expensive. Right?
It'd be disrespectful just to go right to Levi.
You say you have to mention them. Give them some cover.
Give
some cover.
They're older. Yeah, they're older.
They're older.
They're there.
And then right. And we don't mention after all. Because everyone after that, we don't mention. Like, okay, it's a cover. Okay. The Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch has an interesting take on this. Which probably did not have as much significance, or maybe it did, but certainly had a lot of significance. Probably a few thousand years, a certain number of years after this story in Egypt. It says, "Biyom diber Hashem Moshe be'eretz Mitzrayim, hakol hikiro es horav v'horei horav, dodav v'dodosav, was it Dodo Nav and Dodo Niyosav. So, okay, everyone knows Moshe, everyone knows his parents, his grandparents, his uncles and aunts, and extended family. Esko Yichusov, Esko Krovav, Hikiruzeh, Shmonim Shino Yadum Kabasuam. Everyone knew Moshe the first 80 years of his life. He was a Basar Vadab, right? Before he was this miracle worker. Everyone knew Moshe. He was a human being. Kafuf Lateva Adam, Alikiyov Choshotav. He had to be bound by what? By the nature. His weaknesses. Al Dagosav Utrachav. He worried about things. Like, everyone worried about things. He needed things. Everyone else needed things. Ish Kechol Yasar Hashim. For the first 80 years, Moshe was a guy. I mean, he was the prince of Egypt. But he was a man, flesh and blood, like everyone else. Beneihem, Nolad V'chonech. Among them, he was born. He was educated. Hu Aaron V'Moshe, Hem Dibro Paro. He was Aaron and Moshe. They spoke to Paro, who Moshe of Aaron, Basar v'dam kol adam. Torah wants to tell us they're flesh and blood like everyone else. Why would you think not? Uvahem bachar Hashem lios lo lekelim basias malach tegoa. Through them, Hashem used as vessels in his great work. Basar v'dam kol adam. Hashem used human beings of flesh and blood. Vehem bitzuas malachto hagdol shel Hashem. And they executed the great work of God. Why is it so important to tell us they're flesh and blood? Because why? Edus yichuzo noada efo levat talmirosh. This testimony that they actually come from flesh and blood, that they come from human beings, is to cancel from the beginning kol rayon shav al hit kalmut hakel bidmut enosh. So then what? That there's no such thing as a God who takes a form, takes a human form. Okay, like I said, this probably had a lot more significance years later. Although, to be fair, Paro fashioned himself as a god. But I'm saying, we don't believe in God taking the form of a human being. He noada lekayem emet zu. So the Torah was established, it was set up to establish this truth. Moshe, gadol ha'adam b'chol daros, the greatest man in any generation. Haya Adam, he was a man, Barak Adam, and he was only a man. He's called, by the way, in Zosa Brach, he's called Isha Lokim. But it means, even though he speaks to God, and how do you communicate with God, however he did it, we can debate that, how he did it, whatever that means, he was a man. So in other words, the verse basically says, before we're about to begin the story of redemption, we need to set the record straight. He had both a mother and a father. Okay, not just a mother. Okay. He had a mother and a father. He was born a human being. Because again, he's about to do some miraculous things. So that's Rav Hirsch's take on this. Why we have the family tree doesn't answer all the questions specifics, but that's why it mentions that. So they were human beings. Okay, the Rashi has a nice shot. He says that the Torah owed us, you know, because of what Yaakov did. Torah owed us to mention about Reuven and Shimon, and maybe Levi also. Elo Moshe based on a sub. Bitoch shehus kakliache shiftol shelevi ad Moshe Aaron. Since the Torah needed to provide the lineage of the tribe of Levi to Moshe Aaron, bishvil Moshe Aaron for Moshe Aaron. He schil liachasub derech todosab meruved. He began the yichus from Ruved. Okay, so you say, you start off, or you say, out of respect, look what he writes here. Psikta rabasi, ra'isi lefi, shekantram, shekintram Yaakov avim, lishol shvatim alalu, bishas moso. What are these tribes unique? Because Yaakov, he didn't say such nice things about them. He criticized them, right, explicitly. He said nice things about the other nine children. Ruven, Shimon, Levi, he didn't really say stuff. Again, we read into it. We say it wasn't so bad because it meant whatever it means. But he said things that weren't so nice. Okay, at times again, there was a purpose. So v'chazar kasvichsam kan levadam lomar shechashum him. Notwithstanding what Yaakov said, they're still chash. So important. So these are like two separate answers. Right? Why you mention Yichus of Moshe? You need to before we have all the miracles going to do to establish he is flesh and blood, born of a mother and a father. And Rashi, separate thing, we mentioned Reuven Shimon either out of respect, as you mentioned, or to tell him, well, they were disrespected a little bit. They were criticized by Yaakov and to say that they're still chashev. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. So I want to try to take a different approach here.
You can just take a simple approach.
Yeah, say what?
You need yichus because it's not typical of a commoner to talk to a paro.
Right.
It's just.
What you want to say?
Would happen. You have to.
So you have to say the yichus of Moshe.
Come, they announce their lineage.
Right. Right.
You look all through Navi, they always announce their lineage.
Right, right. You want to say where it came from, right. We have to, then Reuven Shimon, you have to sort of explain a little bit.
Well, that's just common.
Yeah, that's common. Okay, so I have a different take on Reuven Shimon. So I'm working on a different take of Reuven Shimon. The question is like this. Was it simply that Moshe was chosen and the Levi was chosen? Or is that Reuven Shimon were not chosen? So let's see for a second. So let's read the Barbadel. All right, there's someone chosen, someone not chosen. So Barbadel. Ele Rashi based on Sub Ad Vadiak Shev Leparo. Vide lo Yisrael Sipor Ayichos Hazeh Bi Zichrod Levi Bilvad. He doesn't begin mentioning by Levi. He's going to be Reuven. He begins with Reuven. Lodia to make known. Shloya Shab Mashve Parim B'Davar. There was no favoritism. Shloya Chavu Moshe V'Aaron Lishlichos Hazeh Mikol Shar B'nei Yisrael. They weren't chosen based on favoritism. Moshe and Aaron, Rabim Day, Shinimitsa, Itam Shlemut, Vizakut, Mizulatam. They were the most complete and they had the most merit, Zchut, more than anyone else. V'lechem Bachar Hashem Yisparach Bahem. That's why Hashem chose them. So what's really going on is God is like, as it were, looking. Not from a coveled standpoint. He's going through, okay? Like, let's see. Who should be our, leader? You know, let's go through this. Let's begin with Reuven. So he says, "Mitchel Shvat, Mitchel Reuven, Ki Hu Abachor is the firstborn." V'Zachar Shehaya Rashi Beir Savos B'Chaduch Palu Chatzu B'Karbi. Okay, he went through all the families. Avar Bahem, Lord B'Sav Bahem, Ish Roy V'Hagul Lishlichos Ule Tova Zu Ule Siba. Sorry, Ule Siba Zu Gankein Lo Barash Lechayei Shub Echa Bahem Kaboshe Hu Abidag B'Sipar Atar. He says he didn't mention anyone's age. Because that's chashivus, that's importance. He went through Reuven. It's a different take. You can totally say it's from a kavod standpoint. He went through Reuven. I didn't find anyone. Let's go next. V'achar kach hizker Shimon, Rashi beis Avosim, Yimuel v'Yamin. He went through the tribe of Shimon, Yimuel, Yamin, etc. V'avar mehem gamkein. He went by them. Nothing. Shabbat Legimo, Vamar, Velishmos Bene Levi, Lusosam Gershon Kazumari, Ross Levi, Rosh Hayacha, Sadik Lafon of Leon Hamavukash. So you saw, Levi was a Sadik. He was a righteous person. Velhe Dictic Lisaper Shechayab, that's why I mentioned how old he was. Kabo Shabar Shechay Levi, Kilabar Shem, Kabar Batsati, Ish Kilavi, I found the man with my heart. Roy Shietzi Bene Belchadavi. There's probably someone, obviously God knows everything, but he's like as if someone's going through, he's good. He's got to have someone covered in who's chashiv. And Va'amar B'nei Gershon, then he says, B'nei Gershon, leave the Shibi, the Mishkol Sab, says, leave the Shibi, okay, for their family. Lo Yiskir, Midyan Shnei Chayosab, he didn't say Chayhem, he didn't say how old they lived. Ki lo hayu ro'yim, elav, they were not fit for this. Amnam, Amar, Uvnei Kahas, they said, what are the children of Kahas? Amram, V'yitzar, V'chever, V'ziel. They were Am Yitzar Echav and Uziel. Ushnei Chayei Kahas. How old were they? Kolomar Zeha Nimshach Achrei Aviv. So he followed the father, right? V'adom alo v'arehu siman shiimsa b'vanav b'chirshem. So he saw out of Levi was Chashuv, important. Kahas was important. He's going to find someone. And he mentions B'nei Merari, Machli Abushi, Lahorosh, Gam Bahem Lo Matzaish, Linyan Hazeh, there was no one who was so great. Okay, v'lachein amar v'yikach Abram es Yocheved, Dodosov, Atein Lo es Aron, Ves Moshe, then we have Abram, Meretz Yocheved, they have Moshe, because they were Shlemim, they were complete, that God chose them, okay? And then he mentions B'nai Yitzhar, and B'nai Uziel, and again, they weren't so complete. He goes on to mention Elazar, who was Chashuv, and Putiel was Chashuv. Some say Putiel came from Yosef, some say he came from Yisro. Okay, so basically, a Barbanel's take on this is that it's not simply a covenant issue. We're going through, we're going to see. That's why you don't mention everyone after Levi. Who's going to be my chosen one? Reuven, he's good, but not to be the leader. One through Shimon, Levi, he's good. Let's check on his kids. Obviously, let's check on his kids. And they have Amram. He's Kahas is good. Amram is good. And then we have Moshe and Aaron. Okay, now let's go a little bit deeper here. So let's go a little deeper here. I want to ask what this means here. Let's go back to the first side. Look in Shmos Perek Vav, the fourth pasuk. By the fourth, that gives pasuk Yudal. I didn't write the pasuk here, but by the Bar Hashem Moshe Val Aaron, and Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Vayitzaveim el bnei Yisrael ve'el paro melech Mitzrayim lotzias bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. What does that line mean? Vayitzaveim el bnei Yisrael ve'el paro melech Mitzrayim lotzias bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. What does that mean? How do you translate that?
He commanded them.
He commanded who?
Bnei Yisrael.
He commanded bnei Yisrael and paro to do what?
To take out bnei Yisrael.
Okay, so he's commanding. But I understand.
It's not saying to let them leave. It's saying.
Okay, he's commanding Bnei Yisrael and Paro to do the same thing.
Leave it.
Right? In other words, he's commanding. You understand my problem here. Right? In other words, I understand he's commanding Paro to bring to take the Bnei Yisrael or to cause them to leave Mitzrayim, to let them leave. What's he commanding the Bnei Yisrael? Lahotzias Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They also didn't
want to leave, right? So maybe they didn't want to leave. Okay. Rashi says, he says, he should speak to them nicely, right? But Tzivim Bnei Yisrael, Tzivim Aleim L'Haniga B'Nachas V'Luz Bosa. He said, you know, command them nicely, you know, because maybe they may not want to leave. Okay. But I want to just finish off tying our point about Reuben Shimon not being chosen with a Talmud Yerushalmi and a Meshech Chachma. Okay, and how that ties into commanding the Bnei Yisrael. Says Yerushalmi, I think it's a wild pshat, but it's pshat. Dabar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, by Dabar Hashem Moshe v'Aaron, so he's explaining, by Tzaveil Bnei Yisrael, al Matzivam, what did Moshe command the Bnei Yisrael? Al Parsha Shiluach Avadim. He commands the Bnei Yisrael about the mitzvah to send away slaves. Now why is he telling, the Bnei Yisrael are slaves, why is he telling them about the parsha of sending out slaves? Is that a nice discussion? Is there something they need to, should they be sending out slaves? What's going on here?
Maybe some of them were slave owners. Some of them were very rich.
Okay. You think about, I mean, I don't know if it's a great comparison, but you think about like in the Holocaust, right? You had some Jews who were in charge of the kapos, and you have like, question is, were there different levels, were all Bnei Yisrael slaves, or do you have different levels? Right. So the Meshech Chachma says the following. Last source. Yitachen. It seems to me, ki gamos v'Mitzrayim hayu gedolei harav uma, that also in Egypt, the leaders of the nation, share hayu sarim dichbadi v'afratim, they were honorable and wealthy Sarib, behem hayu mishavdim es Bnei Yisrael avdam, and they would enslave the Bnei Yisrael as lavadim, as servants. Shemachru hamitzrim lahem, the Egyptians sold them. There were different classes, even Bnei Yisrael. Vulai, and he makes the following suggestion. Hayu hema hashlosha shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, v'Levi, shinhigu sram mitzrayim. It was these three tribes. In other words, why were they rejected? Why were they rejected? These three tribes, that they assumed lordship in Egypt. Kamo she'isa b'midrash. So the Medrash says this. Levi shlo yabashiv Mitzrayim. So first of all, Levi was not enslaved according to the Midrash, right? V'lachein lo natal... What?
The priests.
Right. V'lachein lo natal nachla b'aretz, because they didn't have a portion of the land. And you should know also, Reuven lo natal rak be'evar yarden. Reuven only took on the east side of the Jordan River. Doesn't explain about God, okay. But v'shimon niskayim alav achalkem b'yakov k'moshe perish Rabban. Umehem hayu b'nechorim habei b'sarim. So none of them really got a portion of Eretz Yisrael. If you look at Shimon, you look at a map, a biblical map of Eretz Yisrael, Shimon's tribe is found within Yehuda. He doesn't have his own tribe. Shimon doesn't have his own tribe. Reuven's on the side of the Jordan River. And Levi... And Levi, they don't have a tribe either. So maybe because they weren't part of the Shibud. So that's what he suggests. And many of them were free people and officers. Asher hayu mishabdim es Yisrael hadim karim lahem me'amshal shaparo. That they would enslave, you know, the Jews who were sold to them from the government of Paro. L'chaytziva Hashem yisparach, and therefore God commanded to B'nai Yisrael, God Paro yotziu es B'nai Yisrael b'shibud. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded that both B'nai Yisrael and Paro will take the B'nai Yisrael from the slavery. Well, should free their slaves. V'lakach samach lazeh yichus l'shol sheshvatim. And that's how we mentioned these three tribes. Umesayim, and it concludes, who are Aaron and Moshe? This is Aaron and Moshe that Hashem said to them, Hotzius B'nai Yisrael b'Eretz Yisrael al tzivosav. Basically, sheyu kol mishpacha v'shevet tzavav if they atzmo. That every family, every tribe should have an army by itself. Lo yishtabdu Yisrael zelzeh. And Klal Yisrael should not enslave one another. In other words, when Hashem is telling Moshe and Aaron, I want you to tell the B'nai Yisrael also to free B'nai Yisrael. Who is he telling that to? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Right? V'chadira shelazeh kiven Yerushalmi. And to this, probably, this is what the Yerushalmi intended when it said, Vayetzaveva B'nai Yisrael, he commanded them to the B'nai Yisrael, Matzivam, what he commanded them, Al Parshas Shiluach Avadim. The Parsha of sending out slaves, Ritzon Lomar, Sheyishalchu Avdeha B'Yisrael, they should send their slaves from Yisrael, Sheshimdu Tachas Yadav, that they enslaved other them. So and by the way, Rabbi Menachem Kasher writes, he wants to suggest that maybe this could be, you know, we know that in the Midrash talks about that in the plague of darkness, a lot of members of Klal Yisrael died. Why didn't they want to leave? So it would make sense also. Not you can have a whole psychological take on that about, you know, how you can't leave, you know, it's so hard to leave, even if it's better. But you could also say practically, maybe if many of them owned slaves and they actually had a good life, and you know, not everyone was slave. But obviously, with this take on this question sort of tells us, obviously, is like, you know, it's not always what they do to us, but what they transform us, you know, to become. It's not all right. Well, Golda Meir, what did she say? We hate them. They're more for killing our children than making our children to killers. So this at least the way the Meshech Chachma understands the Yerushalmi and connected with the Barbanel, that the reason why Reuven, Shimon, Levi may not have been chosen, but more than that, not just they weren't chosen, but that Moshe, there was an issue that they were influenced by society to such an extent, right, that this notion of a caste system and a slave system was so ingrained, you know, into their psyche that was something that Moshe had to command. There wasn't a davar pashut. Everyone's going to leave. No, if I own slaves, I'm a Hebrew, I own slaves, they're going to be my slave too.
Maybe they could have left but kept the slaves.
Right, with them. Right. So he said, he said that we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that.
Yeah. I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have learned the lesson from with Yosef. And that even if it's the ancestors, you know, I find it hard to believe that they would do this after what happened when they tried to sell, when they did sell Yosef.
Short memories.
Yeah, short memories. And the whole culture was a slave culture. The whole culture,
we are new generation now that are
part of the Yosef.
Yeah. Right, Josh. All the lessons that we learned from COVID, whatever those were. So we have short memories. But this even here, the influence of society on our behavior, we see from this story.